Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Leanne Mislesky, the Vice President for Opera and Classical Programming at Wolf Trap.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I want to get into sort of the schedule you guys have coming up, but before we do that, let's, you know, big picture it a little bit for me. You know, take me through the chronological pandemic thing here. Like, you know, like you had a certain schedule planned, and then what happened? Yeah, around what time did you start saying we need to, you know, revamp this entire thing?
Yeah, so for us it happened pretty early, because when Governor Northam shut down Virginia till June 10th, what that meant for the opera company is that normally we start building costumes and sets in April, so there was no way for us to actually be able to create these theatrical worlds that people were going to be living in if we couldn't have the shops open. So that was a pretty early and decisive moment where we knew we were going to have to pivot.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, so tell us what you decided to do. Tell us how you came up with the idea to do these virtual performances.
Right. So we still wanted to bring our singers to be with us this summer. And we actually are the only company in the U.S. who is doing it. And Jason, as we talk today, we've got 2 days left of our program. It was a 6-week program where we quarantined people for 2 weeks and then started making music together in a very socially distanced, safe way with a lot of thought behind it. But our young singers want a couple of things from every summer. They want to be able to connect with people in the industry, and they want to be able to perform, right? Those are the big things that singers want to do. So by having these virtual performances, they still get to do big pieces from the repertoire that they're so great at, but it allows us to reach a different audience. And it also trains them to act and sing for the camera instead of those larger audiences. So it's a real skill set that they're gonna need going forward, I think.
Awesome. So let's get into some of the different events you guys are going to be holding. So this piece is going to air next week. So we'll have missed Aria Jukebox and Love Surrender. But do you want to just give us a real, I mean, we can at least educate everyone of what those were really fast, and then we can spend more time on the upcoming ones maybe. So why don't you just tell us what the Aria Jukebox and Love Surrender were?
Sure. So we've done two pieces already. Aria Jukebox was our first concert, and it was a performance where the audience gets to pick what the singers sing. They vote on the selections that the singers offer, and then we reveal the choices live to the singers in performance. That is still up and available to see on our website, as is the first Night of Love Surrender, which is scenes from La Boheme and Eugene Onegin, part of our Love Surrender project.
Awesome. So those are the two that you've already done.
Yeah.
So let's give audiences, you know, a bit of a preview of the other major ones you have coming up. So the next one that they can actually check out is Sunday, August 23rd, the Orpheus Project. Explain what that is.
Right. So there's a myth about Orpheus falling in love with his wife and her being bitten by a snake and taken to the underworld. And he does everything he can to get her back. And he gets her almost the whole way back from hell. And he turns around to look at her just in a moment of, you know, human frailty and loses her again, because the deal is he can't look back at her until they're safely on earth, safely out of hell. And so we're exploring two different works that were written actually back in the 16 and 1700s by two different composers that set this same myth. And I think there's something very cool about using technology and these filming techniques that we're trying in the barns to set in 2020 this very old story that still has these undercurrents that ring true about being in love and wanting to be with that person and having to go through huge trials in order to be together, which feels like a really real thing, especially nowadays.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. And then on September 6th, tell us what you have there and how it sort of ties into the fact that you guys are a national park.
Right. So we chose a number of scenes that are all taking place in the woods, because we have this beautiful national park that we're able to use for let me do that one more time.
Okay.
So we have this beautiful natural, this beautiful national park as a resource to us here in the Opera Company. And we've used it a lot for rehearsals outside. This next program, Into the Woods, actually is based on scenes that were all scripted to be in the woods. So we get to take advantage of some of that natural beauty that we all love so much about Wolf Trap.
Great. And then let me see here, what else? Oh, okay. So the master class was, that's already happened. Is Studio Spotlight? Yeah, okay. Okay, and then on September 20th, you have Studio Spotlight. What is that?
Right. So we have two tiers of artists, and our studio artists are graduate students who are just kind of figuring out if this is the profession that they want. They're all super talented, and they have a scenes program that we are capturing at the Barnes of a number of scenes that range from Mozart to contemporary works like Champion, which is about a boxer. So it's a wide range of rep, and it allows them to really kind of try on some of these roles for the first time.
Okay, great. Are there any other ones? Because that's, I think, all that I'm seeing some of the July ones, but I'm not seeing any more other. Okay, cool.
Yep, I think that's it.
But that's fine. That's actually good for my purposes because I can, it's three. So I can have, you know, three sound bites on the air and then tease to the web and have the whole article on there. So that's good.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. Well then, you know, before we go, remind our listeners how exactly these things are being recorded. You said you're in the Barnes and experimenting, but like, are, you know, your opera singers, you know, you bring them all in at the same time? Are they socially distanced? Like, explain.
Yeah.
Paint a picture for me how that works.
We've scheduled all of the captures so that we have the minimum people that we need for the scenes. And actually all of the scenes are very small too, just two or three people to be able to keep the number of people in a room, the lowest possible and for the shortest amount of time. Singers are masked while they're not singing. Everybody else in the room is masked the whole time. Everyone else in the room is masked the whole time. And we're working in 45-minute chunks so that the room has a chance to air out in between each capture. So that those are some of the things that we've done to kind of keep that that space safe. We are recording on the bar. We are recording in the Barnes, but not just on the stage. We're also recording on the floor. We're recording in the bar area. We're recording outside. We're recording in the park. If we can bring a camera, we're likely capturing some video there this summer.
Awesome. I just think it's so cool how all the venues are adapting. Tell us a little bit about the artists themselves. I mean, there's way too many to go through them individually, but just in general, like I know you guys did hundreds of auditions in numerous cities. So explain how those, you know, artists are selected.
Sure. So we do a big audition tour every year. We get usually about 1,200 applications. We hear about half of them in live audition. And from that, we pick 18 Feline artists, which are our, sing the main roles, they're the principal roles. And then 16 to 17 studio artists who cover them, play understudies and sing chorus and have a curriculum that they do while they're with us. These folks, the Feline artists, are emerging professionals. So they've been in undergraduate school, they've done graduate school, they've worked at one of the big opera companies in the country for a number of summers as a young art, for a number of seasons as a young artist in most cases. There's a real parallel to medical training as far as how much training our folks have. So they've done their resident, they've done their graduate studies, they've done their residency, and now they're ready to kind of get out there and go. Which makes this time and everything shutting down a little bit more tragic for them because everybody wants to show momentum and it's really hard to do in the middle of a pandemic.
Right, right. So give me a, you know, a smattering of where they all hail from, you know, what cities did you find?
Yeah. So we do auditions in here in DC, in New York, in Houston, in Chicago, in Cincinnati, in Los Angeles. And then we have singers, as far as their provenance, that come from all over the place, New York, Iowa, Pennsylvania. We had a singer who wasn't able to be with us, who's from South Korea because he just couldn't get in the country this summer, but he's wonderful. The Midwest, Texas, they come really from all over the place.
And so then once, you know, they're all excited that they, you know, they made the cut, if you will. Do they then come and just stay here for the entire summer, or do they just kind of travel in per show? And how's the pandemic even, and that has to have changed everything.
Right. It did change it. But mostly in this summer, just to make that summer shorter, we do try to bring people in for the longest time we can. We have our, usually our main shows, and then we do recitals and concerts. So there are usually a number of projects that people are singing for each summer. This summer, because we had 2 weeks of quarantine, which was all remote coachings and language work and dramatic work that they could each do while they were quarantined, we only had 4 weeks on site, but everybody was here with us for that whole 4 weeks. We kind of created this bubble so that they could socialize with each other and rehearse with each other, but had limited, if at all, contact with the outside world during their time here. So they all bought into it in a really beautiful way. They've been taking care of each other and looking out for each other and for our projects all summer. I'm really grateful to them.
And so where you said it was 4 weeks. When was that?
So they started quarantine in late June. We started on-site rehearsals on July 13th, and Saturday is the last day. Saturday, August 8th is the last day.
Okay. And where are they all staying? Do they just have individual accommodations, or are they all mm-hmm. staying together?
So they are all in an extended stay hotel so that they each have suites so that they can have a room to practice in. The hotel was great to work with us because they have lifted their noise ordinance so that our folks can actually practice in the hotel. They make a lot of noise. It's probably the loudest hotel in Northern Virginia, to be honest. But they are all in they are all on two separate floors of this hotel. There are nobody else on those floors that are outside of our group, which is nice. And the hotel has some great cleaning and security and health protocols. We felt really comfortable about putting our people in that situation.
Yeah, I was going to say that you don't even need to schedule a wake-up call, that you just have an opera.
I'm sure that there are guests who are like, what is happening on a Saturday morning when somebody's trying to warm up for a coaching?
Right. So, okay. So it all took place over 4 weeks. So I assume, so you pre-recorded all of these in the barns, right? And now you're just getting it all edited and getting ready to, so you'll post these, they won't be live performances, but they'll be newly never before seen edited versions, right?
Exactly. The big difference between what we normally do and what we're doing this summer is that normally the end of the performance is the end of the deal. And in this, we finished the performance, but then there's still so much work to do to process all of that audio and video and to really make it sound good. I mean, crafting audio for an operatic voice is really different than speaking or even singing into a microphone. It takes a lot of skill to kind of get it to be, let me say that one more time. It takes a lot of skill to be able to refine that in a way that is really beautiful with this modern technology. So we wanted to make sure that those audio engineers had a chance to do that well.
Awesome. So that's sort of from your guys' perspective, behind the scenes. How about from the user experience? What do we have to do to see it?
Right. So you can check us out on wolftrap.org. We've got a whole page with all of our operatic offerings that will shoot you through Aria Jukebox, as well as all of our recorded things this summer. We also have a number of operas that we released in previous summers that you can stream for free for the next 6 months too, just so that you can see what we normally do during this time. We wanted to make sure that anybody who was interested in dipping in and learning a little bit more about us had a lot of different options for that.
Now, is this raising any money for you guys? Is there tickets, or is it free, or what's the deal with that?
Oh, it's free. It's free. We wanted to make it accessible to everybody. We're not using it as a fundraiser. It's more important for us to be able to get these important young talents out there, especially while there's no live performances happening. We want to be able to give them an opportunity to show their momentum, to show their growth, to show their artistry.
Awesome. And then, a perfect place to leave it is, hopeful words for the future. It's exciting and cool that you've been able to adapt this summer to make it work virtually, but are you hopeful? I mean, obviously we none of us know how long this virus is going to go on, but are you hopeful, excited to get back doing it normally, maybe next summer, hopefully?
Yeah, I think the big piece that we missed this summer, of course, was the audience. That exchange of energy between our singers and the instrumentalists and the audience was something we all felt keenly. But I am so excited for these singers that we had with us this summer. I'm excited to bring them back next summer so that we are able to do some more fully produced work with them. I'm holding out hope for a great summer for our 50th anniversary next summer.
It'll be 50th anniversary of Wolf Trap or of
Indeed. The 50th anniversary of Wolf Trap next summer.
Wow, do you have anything, can you give us any hints of anything you're planning or any ideas, anything you would like to see happen with that?
you know, I am just excited for that 50th anniversary for us to be able to get together again and experience live music on a grand scale. That is my big hope for the 50th anniversary.
Awesome. But until then, check out the live, not live, but check out the virtual streaming Wolf Trap Opera. August 23rd, September 6th, and September 20th are the three more upcoming shows. So, hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. This will be great.
Oh, thanks so much, Jason. I really appreciate it.